Joshua chapter 20. Verse 1. It says, then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, designate the cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who kills any person unintentionally, without premeditation, may flee there, and they shall become your refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and state his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, and they shall take him into the city to them and give him a place so that he may dwell among them. Now, if the avenger of blood pursues him, then they shall not deliver the manslayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor without premeditation and did not hate him beforehand. He shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the manslayer shall return to his own city and to his own house, to the city from which he fled. So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee, in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. Beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they designated Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the appointed cities for all the sons of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them, that whoever kills any person unintentionally may flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stands before the congregation. Now, we talked about, when we went through Numbers, the laws of murder. I'll mention that in a little bit. But what we're talking about here is unintentional killings. And this is one of the undesired consequences of sin in the world. There are things we do that have consequences. Sometimes we know about them, sometimes we don't. But there are unintended consequences to some things, even like having children. Things get broken. You didn't mean for that to happen. You probably expect it to happen, but sometimes things get broken. The house is more of a mess. And parents can go insane faster. Those are unintended consequences. Or having a job, working with people who are hard to work with. That would be an unintended consequence of having a job. Or if you paint your house, splashing paint on surfaces you don't mean to have paint on. So when humans take it upon themselves to make things better, there's usually unintended consequences that make things worse. Or they sometimes intend to make them worse. But a lot of times people try to fix things and there are unintended consequences to them. Almost all new approaches to basic things make things worse. New approaches to disciplining children usually make worse children. To morality usually makes more immorality. To justice usually makes more injustice. When you speak to some of the problems of the day or the previous generations on things like racism, it usually makes more racism. Or to gender, you get more confusion. Or to sexuality, you get more immorality and unlicensed or unrighteous behavior in that way. And to religion, you get worse religion. Almost all make things far worse who try to fix things by, you know, human wisdom. Schools figure out ways, these people get together and they figure out ways to make education better. Usually makes it worse. To help kids learn better, usually makes them learn less. Members of religions try to improve their religion by making more rituals, and then they throw away the bigger things like the Pharisees did. If you find a bill in Congress to fix something, it probably 90% of the time at least, both will not fix the problem and will most likely make things worse than they were to start with. Those are unintended consequences. Now, the supreme unintended consequence of all time was done in the Garden of Eden. Can you believe, and we've seen it, and we do believe this, that the devil would pick such a thing that if they disobey God, they would be better off, and the world would be better off. And of course, we expect that from the devil. But the real issue we have is, how can you believe it? And Adam and Eve swallowed it whole, and it made everything worse. And so they might have had unintended consequences. We call the fall, and it is pervasive throughout all of life. And it actually brought the matter of death. So, and Genesis, from the very beginning, shows us how fast it went bad. It was supposedly to be better, but it went downhill really quickly. It's like you buy a sports car from the dealer and you wreck it on the way home. Or a couple gets married and on the way out of the church, they're loudly arguing with each other as they go down the aisle. It doesn't take long to have a falling out and for things to get really bad. Wasn't intended, at least in concept, although it should have been expected if we disobey God. So a fallen world is facing something that was unintended in the original design as it was delivered to us to obey God. And that is, we now have death. Because of the fall, people can die. And further, because of the fall, people murder. So you've got the prospect of people dying, and the people are no longer immortal, and they're no longer, you know, unable to die. But now people can die by accidents or on purpose, which would be murder if it's on purpose. So what we have here in Joshua 20, and we saw it earlier in Numbers 35, is this matter of having cities of refuge that are in the land, a place where the Lord would set up to avoid the shedding of more blood when blood had been shed. Cities of refuge is like you run to your mom or you run to your grandparents or run to your grandma. I ran to my grandmother one time when one of my friends would chase me around the house. We still laugh about that. She was my refuge. Once I got to her, I was safe from the avenger of blood that was after me. So we would call this withholding judgment until a person gets a fair trial or due process. That a person who is accused is recognized that they may not have done it. They're just being accused. It very often happens in our day that people are accused and they didn't do it. So a city of refuge is like that. Now let me show you if I can. I'll try anyway to show you a picture here. If you see this picture, this is, you might have to pinch it out. You can see that here are the six cities of refuge that were set up in Israel. And the circles here are approximately a day's journey. So you see that most of Israel was set up to where you could get to a city of refuge within a day. I have another one that is of another, it's more of a, I guess, not colorful. This here is the cities of refuge on the map. So you see them, how they, at the north, you can see, in Galilee, you see, Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, and there's three on the west of the Jordan, and there's three on the east of the Jordan. And you can get to them, you know, without too much travel in that day. As I say, they're pretty much to get you where you can get there in a day. Because, you know, if somebody's after you, you want to get there safety as soon as you can because of the issue being of revenge. So they're spread out equally, and they're part of the 48 cities of the Levites. The priest got 48 cities. Six of them were these cities of refuge where people would flee. And we're told that it was for people to flee who had unintentionally killed someone so that they would be killed for that killing. Death that's caused by another person is not always murder, we know. It can be an accident. The Bible never justifies murder or killing on purpose without any authority. Government can kill in capital punishment. Soldiers can kill. You can kill if somebody breaks into your house, threatens your life, threatens the life of your family in self-defense. There are various things that are considered justifiable. And yet when it first happens, whoever is on the other end of that and their families on the other end of that tend to be angry. And so blood run hot. It may not be murder, but it may be treated like that. And families would have an avenger of blood. There was somebody who was pretty much recognized by families, by tribes or whatever, that they would make it right. And they would get to the point of justice. But justice had to be justice. It had to be truly, in the eyes of God, proper. So when emotions would run high, these cities of refuge would give a place for these who killed unintentionally to flee. They could also be a place where people who killed intentionally fled, but they would get no refuge there, for as soon as they considered the case and found it to be murder, they would give them up back up to the avenger of blood. They would deal with it as a capital offense, and that person would have to die. That was always the penalty. So the cities of refuge would protect the land from injustice, from unjust shedding of blood. You've noticed, if you see people on the news, people who have these events happen, if a policeman shoots a person and a whole community gets mad and they want to kill the policeman, they want to burn up the city, they're so angry. And this is to shut that down and to stop injustice, because a lot of people just want vengeance. They don't want justice. The Lord wants justice, not vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So this is to protect the land. And the person who would run to the city of refuge and get safety, as the Bible says here, is from an unintentional killing. It's from an accidental thing. It wasn't intended to be done. It happened, but it wasn't aimed at anyone. It says that in verse 3, that the manslayer who kills any person unintentionally, he slays a man, he kills a man, but unintentionally, without premeditation, he flees there because he's not guilty of murder. He should not be punished with a sentence of murder. Examples of unintentional killings would be like a driver hits a pedestrian at night he didn't see crossing the street. The pedestrian didn't look both ways, and he was hit. My cousin ran over someone like this once. It was in Hickory. It was dark. It was a young child, six, 7 year old, I think it was. It was devastating and hurtful, but no charges were filed because it was an accidental thing. There was some fault involved, but nobody meant for it to happen. Nobody wanted it to happen. It was an accident. A person on a construction site may be using heavy machinery and something happens, or using it, it gets loose and it's uncontrolled and it strikes someone and kills them. That would be unintentional. That would be considered, person may be arrested until they saw what the situation was. That's what the city of refuge was like. You go into a city and you're there while the matter is being considered, and when it's dealt with, you either deliver them up or you confine them to the city of refuge. It's not with evil intent. It's not with a purpose to kill, with no sanction from God. Intentional killings are plenty. Abortion is an intentional killing. Of course, they call it, what the abortionists have done is they call the baby something else. So then people get mad. You can't kill a baby because it's not a baby. That's what they say. But it's a baby. It's murder. Any premeditated murder, you lie in wait for someone, you plan it out, you go with the purpose, you load the gun, you fire the gun, you point the gun, you swing the stick, whatever it is, premeditated murder. If you go into a rage and grab a rock and sling it at somebody, that'd be murder. Even though you were angry, you got to control that. Killing in the name of Allah, or any religious, supposedly just killing, is not sanctioned by the will of God or the word of God, that would be murder. These terrorists who pat themselves on the back for doing the will of Allah, of course, Allah, you can't do his will because he doesn't have one. That's all murder, no matter what they call it. If you take your own vengeance, you're putting yourself into a place of an intentional killing and murder. If you purposefully make something dangerous, loosen the boards on a high-rise scaffolding or something, and a fellow worker goes up there and slides off, and you put it there for it to fail, well, that would be murder. So all those are intentional matters of killing. And every time that happens, that is punishable by death in Israel. That is a capital offense. The six cities of refuge were to protect the land then from the avenger of blood, or to give due process. Due process is less and less common, especially in political realm. If some certain people from a certain side of the political spectrum are accused of something bad, well, they're jumped on without due process. It's the opposite on the other side. The other side says, well, we have to wait and see. But due process is part of the foundation of the cities of refuge, to get people to have a chance to show whether they're innocent or guilty, and for the people, the congregation, to consider that. And when they considered it, they would make a judgment. It's interesting that even once you killed a person, life is so precious in the eyes of God that those who were innocent of murder but who were actually a manslayer would still stay in the city of refuge. The city of refuge would be like where they lived until the statute of limitations ran out on it, even though they were not guilty of murder, to protect the land from this vengeful spirit. So if they left that city, they would be subject to being killed by the avenger of blood. But when the death of the high priest came, he was free to go, and he could not be touched. And so he would be able to return to his own city. Blood pollutes the land. And death is something that pollutes the land. So Numbers 35, we saw this here or there, says this, verse 33, "So you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no expiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. You shall not defile the land in which you live, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, am dwelling in the midst of the sons of Israel." The shedding of blood pollutes the land. The more killing you have in the land, the more pollution morally is in the land. And our own land is prime example of that. You can't kill babies. If you kill babies, you can kill anything. And this has been going on since the 70s, freely and openly and proudly, more and more. And it pollutes the land. It makes life less precious. Capital punishment is not exercised very often. We have more compassion toward murderers than we do toward the unborn. Some segments of the population, like the elderly, are often targeted for death. Get out of the way. You even hear that sometimes. We got an overpopulation problem. We need to whittle off the older people, which is usually said by younger people. So some of the segments of the population, so from the beginning with babies in the womb, all the way to the elderly, society really targets people for death. And the preciousness of life is less. People value that. People value the lives of nature, animals, more than humans that are of this mindset. So people don't hold to these things or are also targeted for death. They're threatened, and Christians are threatened and martyred, again, because they don't fall in line with the philosophy of the land. But the Christian is the firebreak. When God gave these commands to Israel, he's giving something to keep the land from being polluted, to keep the consciences of people from being dulled, to keep violence from being a part of life. If you go into a lot of places, in a lot of cities, in small towns even, there are places where you just get bloodshed all the time. Chicago, we're always hearing about Chicago. They're a big gun control city. They get killings every day, you know, all the time. They're one of the most violent places, New York City, other places. There's just bloodshed everywhere. And these cities of refuge is trying to stop that. Keeping the innocent of murder from being treated like they're murderers, which is really what was happening. They were being given a sentence in the mind of the avenger as though they murdered someone when they did not murder anybody. They were, you know, unintentionally the one who killed another, so that they're not to be targeted for murder. In India, we were told if you're in a traffic accident, if you got the bigger car, the crowd's going to come after you because they figure you're at blame, and you're not necessarily, but that's what they figure. See, that's where you need a city of refuge. You need where you can get a place where you can go and be safe, be protected, and not be the victims of, you know, a mob injustice. This is caring about the land. When violence and bloodshed break out, we don't care about the land. All these people that say they care about the world, care about the land, then you don't want to promote immorality. You don't want to promote murder. You don't want to promote violence, the shedding of blood. When Cain killed Abel, the Lord said the blood of Abel was crying out to him from the ground. That's what the Lord gets from it. The blood of Abel was crying out to the Lord from the ground for justice, that an injustice had been done. That's not a magical thing. It's not a fantasy thing. That's God disliking killing. Cain killed Abel on purpose. The Lord spared him, cursed him, but that was an intentional killing. And the blood cried out to the Lord from the ground. And we're Christians, always, we have it with abortion. Christians, there are conservatives, Republicans, there are some Democrats who also are against abortion as we have it today. But the left is all for it usually, for the vast majority. A lot of Republicans are, but Christians who claim to be Christians and who promote abortion and this kind of thing, that's just in name only. The Christians, true Christians, are those who stand up against murder. And we don't call anything else but what it is. And if we get our way, there's less bloodshed and violence in the land, and things are better for the world. We may not make the progress we want. We can't ever give up. We can't ever lay down and give the standards to the world to run things. They're going to mess up. The world is going to always mess up. They're going to call something just that's unjust. They're going to call something unjust that's just. They're going to continue to say, let's kill millions of babies a year, but let's make sure we don't get out in public too soon where maybe 50 or 100 might die. They will not get it right. Christians always are going to be the ones to lead the way and to set the example and hold to the standard of what is good and bad and what is murder and what is justified and what is unjustified. And we've got to hold that line. It may not be that we find ourselves encouraged a lot in it, because there's just a whole lot of injustice in the world. That's just the way it is. But as the Lord lays out here in Joshua 20, he's after justice. And in his justice, he wants to contain the spread of evil and to hold it from breaking out even more. It's a consequence of having death in the world and having sinners in the world, that there's always going to be murder. There's going to be unintentional killings because we can die and accidents happen. And the Lord is seeking, and he does here very well, and Israel does very well if they follow this, to keep it from just going wild and out of control. It doesn't take much for a mob to start running things. And for a mob, and that's what happens in a lot of countries that are, big communist type blocks or Soviet blocks of nations, fascism, things like that, where you get a mob rule. The Hitlers are a mob rule. The people who get together and they decide what they want, and they break out in violence, and then they're against all moral standards because there's no Christian influence there. So it's godlessness. And godlessness breaks out this way. So it's the Christian always. We're to take courage in that we're on God's side. When we stand up against this and hold the line on what is proper and what is right and what is an unintended and what is an intentional killing, and to hold the standard of that to keep the pollution from destroying our land. Let's pray. Lord, we see much bloodshed. A lot of injustice. And again, people make it worse. Sinners make it worse. and we need your word. Things are too simple for people who want to cover up sin and violence. They don't want to take the word of God. They want to philosophize something new and say it'll be better, and it's just never better. But Lord, to follow you, to have you guide us, to have you teach us and hold to your standards, that would be truly righteousness. And may we, as your people, hold firmly to that and take courage that we are on your side in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me unmute you. Okay, unmute it all.
You're still recording.
Let me unrecord here. Cindy, remind me of that. Yes.